Hey, what's up, Christ Community Church? It's Gavin Johnson here. Today is July 1st, and I'm going to bring you your accelerator as a part of Project 4-4 from today. Hope you've been enjoying the reading. Today we continue on primarily in Isaiah chapter 14, 15, and 16. And we carry along a similar theme that we've been reading for the past couple days. It's a section in which God pronounces his judgment against the nations, particularly some of Israel's Middle Eastern neighbors there in the area. And just a few themes that I want to draw out and points of observation. The first one is this. It's the idea of God is God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. That means that God has a will and he is all powerful, and therefore his will is accomplished always. Everything that has happened in human history has been within God's plan. There was no plan B. God is never surprised by the unfolding of human history. God is never primarily a reactor to humans and our will. Instead, he is the initiator, and we are reactors of him. And so God is sovereign. He has a plan. Nothing can thwart his plan. We see him describe this in chapter 14, starting in verse 24. God says, "Surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will stand." We go down just a couple verses later. And he says, "For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?" So we see that God is in control of all things, all the time. There's nothing that has ever happened that has happened outside the bounds of God's will. He is sovereign over all things. That's one of his core attributes that makes him God. We see God's sovereign will play out in judgment in particular in these chapters that we read today. Starting in chapter 14, here's his judgment against Assyria. He says, "I will crush the Assyrian in my land. On my mountains, I will trample him down." He brings judgment against Moab. He says, Ar in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Kir in Moab is ruined, destroyed in a night. Next chapter, he brings his pronounces his judgment against Damascus. He says, "See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins." We see that in all these things, God is sovereign, and he's bringing judgment to these godless nations who have rebelled against him, who have oftentimes fought against his people. And God in his sovereignty has used their works by his hands to bring judgment to his own people, the nation of Israel. But so too, they are acting as a part of their own wicked motivations, and they are acting of their own free will. And they are responsible for their own decisions. And so we see God's particular judgment against them. So God is sovereign. And so we learn that national affairs, political affairs, our personal affairs are all at their root really theological affairs. They're divine affairs. Everything in our lives is really rooted in divine affairs. God is in control. God is in charge of those things. And so the question we should ask is, well, so what? Right? Why does this matter? What bearing should this have on the Christian life, and how should this affect our living day to day? And as I think about it, I think, you know, the number one application from this is that we can live with confidence. You know, Jesus said we should not be anxious about tomorrow, but we should pray. He said we shouldn't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink or how we're going to be clothed, and said we should consider how God takes care of the world around us and find rest in that. The idea is this: God is in control, all right? He is the primary reality. He is the key decision maker. God calls the shots. And so we don't become passive in the process. We don't become lazy, but we don't become anxious, and we don't become stressed out. And so we have confidence. We work hard. We maintain faithfulness. We maintain devoted in prayer, and then we sleep well because we have confidence that God's will has been established. We cannot thwart it. Number two, I think it should alleviate some fear in our lives. A lot of my sleepless nights are because of uncertainty of the future. Fearful. What's going to happen as a result of my decisions? What if I make the wrong decisions? What's going to happen tomorrow? What about my kids? And as we come to a good understanding of God's sovereignty, this should start to eliminate the fear in our lives. We don't need to be fearful. God stands outside of time. He's present in the past, in the present, and in the future. He has a sovereign will, and it's going to unfold. And so we pray hard, we work hard, we love God and stay devoted, but we don't fear. God is already in control of everything. The third one is that, you know, rather than bringing about this kind of moralistic passivity of, well, God has a will, so it doesn't matter what I do, right? So if I sinned, wasn't that according to God's will? The answer is no. God actually gives us a declarative will. He gives us the will by which we should live our lives. This would be God's law. And rather than trying to thwart his kind of moral will or directive will in our lives, we should seek to get in line with it. We say, you know what, God is in charge of all things, and he has revealed to us in his word how we should live and the path on which we should walk. And we know we'll never be perfect, and so we put our confidence in the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus. But as he works and transforms our hearts and empowers us, we get in line with his will. We learn, what is God's will for my sexuality? How do I live that out? We learn, what is God's will for my finances? How do I align my will with God's will? And we seek to live that out. So we don't try to live disaligned from God's will. We get in line with it. Second observation I want to make is just Isaiah's heart in this whole thing. Here it is. God has spoken these words to Isaiah. He says, Isaiah, pronounce my judgment to Assyria and Damascus and Moab. And what we see is that Isaiah is not heartless. He takes no pleasure in delivering this judgment. He has a deep understanding of God's sovereignty, but he still grieves over these nations. Listen to what Isaiah says. He says, my heart cries out over Moab. He says, I weep. I drench you with my tears. We see that Isaiah is actually grieved over these people. Now they're receiving the judgment that was due to them. These aren't innocent people, but we see Isaiah's tender heart. He understands that these are real people, that God's sovereign will doesn't make us apathetic, emotional robots. But Isaiah realizes, man, these are people who are made in God's image. And even though this is God's right, just wrath and judgment upon them, we don't celebrate that. We mourn that and we grieve that because we love people. And it hurts our heart to see them go through judgment. And so we see from Isaiah's own heart that understanding God's sovereign will shouldn't produce an apathy in us or a passivity. But instead, we should engage in the tension of understanding God's free will and the reality that we make real choices every day with very real consequences. And when we choose to misalign ourselves with God, we can face tragic consequences. And so this tension should drive us to evangelism. It should drive us to tell people who don't know about Jesus, to tell them that, hey, there's a God that loves you. There is a King who died for you, who welcomes you into a relationship with him. And so understanding God's sovereignty shouldn't make us passive in evangelism. It should drive us to evangelism. It should drive us to say, you know what, there are some out here that God is going to save, and he saves them, not me. So that gives me full confidence to tell my friends about Jesus, tell my neighbors about Jesus, tell my coworkers about Jesus. It should drive us to evangelism. Number two, it should drive us to worship. It should create in us a certain awe that God is sovereignly enacting his will throughout all of history. Just like a tapestry, God is weaving together all the events of human history, of the nations, of our own personal lives into a beautiful picture that someday is going to be revealed when we see what God was up to the whole time. We know that God is good and God is glorious, and all things work together for the good of those who love him. And so on that last day, when we see him face to face, I think it's all going to make good sense. And right now, as we live in the mystery of God's sovereignty and of our will and ability to make decisions, it should drive us to worship as we rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing. His will be lived out. Hey, hope you're enjoying the reading. Enjoy this July 1st, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.